إمام محمد رضا إمام أهل السنة إمام أحمد رضا إمام محمد رضا إمام أهل السنة إمام أحمد رضا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Imam of Ahle Sunnah. In this program we talk about different dimensions of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman. Today we will be talking about the pieces of advices he gave. Inshallah, we'll select some to the believers and to the devotees of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and especially for the disciples. So we can learn something from those beautiful pieces of advice. That is the main idea of this topic, inshallah. I hope you will be with us from start till end. You will be learning beautiful information regarding those pindo nasaih, or those beautiful pieces of advice which were shared by Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. Dear respected viewers, today we've got Dr. Khurram Attari with us, inshallah, Azawajal, and Brother Nasir, inshallah, he will be reciting Naat for us. But before we proceed towards our main topic, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, he's given us a beautiful mindset that we should make to good intentions before performing any permissible task or good deed. I make this intention, inshallah, I will deliver this program for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You can make this intention, you will be with us from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, and not only that, you will pass this knowledge on to others too. Let's go towards our panel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. So thank you very much once again. You've come, you've given your precious time. And today the topic is beautiful, interesting, inshallah. We'll be learning from some pieces of advices Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi shared, especially for the disciples and generally for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Asim, how are you doing? You okay? MashaAllah. JazakAllah for coming, inshallah. We'll listen now from you. Rashad, let's start with a beautiful topic, that is some pieces of advices of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala. Definitely, when we look at Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala, he's a great scholar, great mufti, great scientist, faqih, great ashik of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Messenger of Allah. At the same time, he is muslih, right? The one who does islah, the one who such a great muballigh also, muballigh of Islam, who does preach, who invites towards righteousness, who gives nasihat. So that was the reason why we selected this topic, so we can derive a few pieces of advice what he shared, so we can also take something for us, mashallah. So where would you like to start from in the start?
MashaAllah, you're absolutely right. I think so. One of the words which really suit his personality is that he was a great reformer.
SubhanAllah.
So reformation, you know, so there's been a lot of talk about, and if you look at modern histories, you know, there have been lots of people who have been claimed to be the reformers. So they reformed their country, they reformed, you know, they reformed several things. But the beauty of Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is that he didn't just reform the dunya for us. He reformed deen for us as well. He told us what were the issues when we were following deen and how there is a risk that these two can clash with each other, and how we need to be absolutely sure that deen always takes priority. So one of the first and foremost things, which is also part of our Madani Inamat from Amir Ahle Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah, and one of the key things which we need to learn from is that his was the time of various fitan, of various issues,
yeah,
which were happening in Muslim Ummah. And that was, the issue was division of the Ummah. The time was very divisive. There were lots of attacks on the integrity, the dignity of the deen of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the key thing which was important in that divisive time was to keep the ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam united under the flag of the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there were all sorts of these issues, people were trying to attack the deen in various shapes and forms. And for that, Sayyidi Alaihi rahmatullahi ta'ala, so if we look at the entire life, whether it's poetry, whether it's prose, his Islamic rulings, whatever it is, the thing which he emphasizes the most is the strength of faith. And if that strength of faith is defined by the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then nothing would be, no one and no effort would be able to, to digress people, to distract them from the right path. So a beautiful example of that is his book, Tamheed-e-Iman, or Preface to Faith. And the name tells everything.
Subhanallah.
The preamble to faith, the beginning of faith, it is defined by the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reverence which a Muslim should have for his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can see that. So if one of the examples scholars always give is that till the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there have been many disbelievers who claim to be God. But when the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed himself to this world, if we look at all the issues which happened since then, no one ever claimed to be God again.
That's the point.
Because the definition of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala being wahdahu la sharik,
tawheed,
of tawheed in its ultimate sense was described so beautifully and in a sense, given an ultimate authority by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that people thought, those disbelievers thought that now what we need to do is to imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they tried to imitate him. So that fitna was destroyed forever, was demolished in the blessed life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Afterwards, the issue was around all these people who would try to be prophet, who claimed to be prophet. So, or those who claimed that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether there was limits to what you would do for him and how you would do it. So they were trying to bring these artificial limits. And that's where the importance, the need of the time was clarify the definition of faith in the context of the love, the stature and the reverence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
He did that brilliantly.
And he did that brilliantly, and that's why, so if you read this book, Tamheed-e-Iman, he describes in a very small booklet, very few, less than 100 pages, and he explains that a life of a believer starts with the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ends with the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. Beautiful.
So that, I think, is the overriding advice which he gives, that whenever you're about to do something, just test it. And your litmus test would be whether it conforms to the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. If it does, then of course it's right. And if it doesn't, no matter who says it, no matter how it is said,
leave that company.
Leave that company, leave those people, leave those books, those readings, everything. Just come under the flag of the love of the Holy Prophet ﷺ.
And be steadfast on madhhab Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This was the basic point he had given. Dear respected viewers of Madani Shaniyas, that's very important, definitely. You see, if you see the sequence of Quran, right, in the ayahs, it says, Amanu wa Amilu. So the Iman comes first, and then Amal comes after. Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has given many pieces of advice regarding Amal. Right, what we need to perform. But the very first advice he gives about Iman, to protection of your Iman, and being with those people who possess the right aqidah, right beliefs. And he told to remain far from those they have and they possess corrupt beliefs. This was the basic piece of advice he gives. And subhanAllah, he is also maintaining the same sequence, Amanu wa Amilu, because Iman is the asas, that is the foundation, that is the base. The one who possesses right aqidah, right belief, Then only the a'mal will benefit him. If the one does not have the foundation, the basic need is not existing there, right? The asas is not there, the iman is not there, then definitely if the one who has got corrupt beliefs and his iman is not intact the way it should be, then the a'mal would not benefit him. So this is the very beautiful advice Al-Azhar rahmatullahi ta'ala gives.
And he says that in his poetry as well, doesn't he? Bakhuda khuda ka yehi hai dar, nahi aur
makar
makar, makar. Jo wahan se ho yehi aake, jo yahan nahi wo wahan nahi. Everything, it starts with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it ends with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want the success in both worlds, then you have to adhere to this principle, because nothing is acceptable in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if it does not have the approval of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love. If it does not have the seal of the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then nothing is acceptable. And then he says about himself as well. He said, that is the principle I have held. Unhe jana, unhe mana.
Na rakha
ghair se kaam. Lillahi alhamd, main dunya se musliman gaya. Because that's what my whole life is. Its whole life is derived with that one meaning. I only know, respect, love, revere, and believe in the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why I go from this world with my iman intact.
Subhanallah. Now, dear respected viewers, after giving this very important piece of advice that we should remain steadfast onto the right beliefs and on Madhabi Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, then he also gives us advices regarding a'mal. Another advice he gives that you need to be focusing on salah and the punctuality and being regular in offering salah. And he's talking about its importance. Then he further says, for the male, right, the males, they should offer salah with jama'at.
So, and Sayyidi Anas rahmatullahi ta'ala, he goes further and he says that indeed, in a sense, the definition of humanity is by prostrating the court of Allah tabaraka. Salah defines a person. And actually what he's saying there is exactly what Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala said. When he said that without salah, a human has no purpose. The purpose of life is defined by salah.
Allah.
And that's why even
when
he was mortally wounded, even then he wakes up for a little time and the first question he asks, is it still time for salah? So he's basically bringing that message that actually, you know, a person who does not read namaz, who does not read salah, it's like a human who has actually no heart, no soul.
It's just like a picture.
It's just like a picture, which has actually nothing in it.
No,
it's
an soul
empty picture. Exactly. It is soulless. And that is what we see in the life of Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala. So if you look at all his saintly miracles as well, you know, he's going from Pilibhit to Bareilly Sharif, he stops at Nawab Gan station, time for Maghrib Salah, and he comes out and said, we need to offer it with Jama'ah. All his disciples come, and now the stop was only 1 or 2 minutes. He's reading his Maghrib Salah, and the driver is trying, but the train doesn't move. And until anonymously actually said, oh, it seems like there is this scholar of Muslims who is reading prayer, and I think that's the reason why train is not moving. Even they believed that this is the strength of their faith. And they said, well, we have to wait until he finishes. He finishes his salah, he comes back, and the train
started.
So that was how strongly
his muhafiz of salah.
Exactly. And then it's also mentioned that, you know, we miss our congregational prayers for no reason. It's also mentioned that even in his last days when he was unwell, even then he said to his harithin, the servants to him, he said that, take me on my chair. So two people will carry his chair to masjid.
Allah.
He said, I still, even in these circumstances, I can't accept to not read my salah with congregation.
Also, I have read that Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was sahib tartib. Right? He was such a person that he would not make salah qada, right? He would not miss his salah. And further, it is also mentioned that Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh says that even the one who leaves one time of salah, intentionally, he is also classed as Bainamadi, the person who doesn't offer salah. So now we need to reflect upon ourselves, how many salah do we miss on a daily basis? My Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Maulana Ilyas al-Tarqadi, Dawat Barakatumul Aliya, mentions that 95% of the Muslim population do not offer salah. And the remaining 5% who offer salah, most of them don't know how to offer it properly. This is the problem, unfortunately. The salah is the coolness of the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salah brings blessings in your rizq. Salah brings peace in your house. It is a key to Jannah. Right? It is a lamp for your grave. It will enlighten your grave. It will help you to cross bridge of Sirat. And these are the narrations that I'm just giving you the summary of. And the one who does not offer salah, right, he misses deliberately one salah, deliberately, without any valid reason. Allahu Akbar, his name is written on that door from where he will enter into hellfire. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. And let's make few good intentions. Today, watching this program, a message from Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. We're learning from the seerah of Sayyidi Yashai, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, and Rahmat Rahman. And he's sharing the pieces of advice that you should protect your salah, establish salah, offer salah with jama'at, and do not miss it. And this is what we need to learn from his seerah and make intentions for today, inshallah. I will never miss my single salah until the last breath of my life. This is a message, inshallah, from this platform of Dawat Islami's Madani channel.
And also, if I can quickly add to that point as well, that please, his love for salah was so strong that he writes himself. And this is a point, great point for parents. So as we are bringing up our children, we are nourishing them, nurturing them. When do we start telling them about salah? So what we command is that from the age of 7, we should start teaching our children about salah. So that when they hit puberty, from that moment on, their practice is well established and they don't miss their prayer. Sayyidina Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he writes himself, he said, I knew the exact moment when I reached puberty and I wanted to know beforehand so that the salah which comes right after that moment, I did not want to miss it.
Allahu Akbar.
So from that age, he knew it, you know, that the importance of salah when he hadn't even reached, you know, past his first decade of his life. That's, you know, that's a message for our parents as well. That is how we need to bring up our children. Yes, it's important for them to go to school and uni or whatever, but where is salah?
That's a very, very important point you touched upon. But unfortunately, what happens, we put alarms for when you see schools, we put alarms for universities, we put alarms for work, we put alarms on. And especially when a child is going to the bed, we remind him, don't forget to put your alarm early in the morning because you have to go to school. But how many of the parents, they actually tell to their children that you have to put alarm for Salatul Fajr? That they should start with Salatul Fajr. That they should start by prostrating in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us so much, so many blessings we've got. We've got clean water to drink, food to eat, shelter to live. And we cannot count, to be honest with you, we cannot count the sihat we've got, right, the health we've got, the way we can walk, we can talk, we can see, we can hear. And there are so many blessings. I cannot count them. And nobody can count them, the blessings of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. One shukr is the saying from your tongue, Ya Allah, thank you, right? There are shukr hai, we say it in our language, right? But one thank you or one shukr is by means of practicality. When you practically pay shukr to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, when you offer salah, prostrate your head, and then you pay shukr to the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, you've given me health, you've given me wealth, you've given me shelter, you've given me food, you've given me drink, you've given me, I cannot even count the blessings, but I'm prostrating my head, I'm doing sujood in your court because you've given me all that. This is the beauty of salah, and this is the connection with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that five times a mu'min, he goes and praises in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And subhanAllah, this is something that's very important, and Allah has given us this piece of advice that we should not miss our salah. Also, we talked about the piece of advice Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala gave regarding establishing prayer and protecting your salah, and especially whenever the fara'id are concerned. So he is giving us a mindset that they are the most important bits you need to hold on. And he seems to give another advice which is written in front of me, if you could also mention, regarding Ramadan Kareem, okay, the psalm, fasting in Ramadan, which is obligatory upon a Muslim who is able to do so. What would you say? What has he said in this regard?
So, so obviously his advice is that if somebody has ever missed the fast from Ramadan, then he must try and keep qada, so to recompense them before the next Ramadan comes. Because, and then he quotes the hadith that if the If a person has not recompense for their previous missed fast, then his next are not accepted. Which is such a strong statement. And his life actually was a true depiction of that. So even when he was unwell, he quotes himself that incident, that even I was unwell and I was told by my father through my dream that, you know, you will become very unwell in Ramadan, make sure you don't miss any fast. And I was so unwell that I couldn't even leave the bed. But I remember the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala, sumu tasihu, keep fast, be healthy.
Be healthy.
And then followed by the advice of my dad, my respectable father, I did not miss any fast, and by the grace of fasting, Allah ta'ala gave me health. And then when it came to the last days of his life, the last year of his life, he actually gave a ruling in his own favor and said that I'm unable to fast in the hot environment of Bareilly Sharif, but I can keep fast if I go to a cold climate up in north.
Allah.
So he gave a fatwa, an Islamic ruling for himself, to say that now it is obligatory upon me to leave this place and go there to keep fast. SubhanAllah. That was his love. You know, that's not just, you know, it's not just lip service, actually demonstrating it through his own life. So then, of course, you know, that's the sort of advice he would give.
He would protect his faraid, his wajibat, and definitely sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his routine, his life was just around that. Running respective Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, now let's include few ash'ar from Kalam of Ala Hazrat in our segment. InshaAllah, today we will learn about the very first Naat of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala in Haraike Bakshish, in his book, which is in the praise of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in poetic form. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala writes, Wah kya judo karam hai shahe batha tera, Wah kya judo karam hai shahe batha tera, Nahi sunta hi nahi maang liwala tera. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala says, Ah, so exquisite is your generosity and kindness, O King of Makkah. No is never heard by the one who is a beggar at your court, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear Islamic brothers, the couplet is the opening couplet of the first naat presented in Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi Hadaiki Bakshish. It is written in special delight and demonstrates the deep love which Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi possesses for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In this first stanza, the word wah is used. In Urdu language, it is used to demonstrate astonishment and to praise Allahu Akbar. In other words, the generosity of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as his writing is far beyond what could have ever imagined. In this stanza, the word batha refers to the valley of Makkah. The second stanza explains that those who seek the aid and the blessings of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam never receive a negative response from this court, Allahu Akbar, from the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They are always greeted with positive reaction from the generous court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This couplet is thus explaining the uniqueness, generosity and kindness of our beloved Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is in reality depicting the message of the hadith which is reported by Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha, where she says that the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was more generous than all people. His generosity flowed more swiftly than the powerful winds. He would never turn away the beggar empty-handed by saying no to him. Allahu Akbar. Na kehna adat nahi Rasulullah ki. Mangenge, another place Allah cites. Mangenge, mange, jayenge, mu mangi, paayenge. Sarkar me na la hai, na hajat agar ki hai. Ifs and buts are not in the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. No is not heard from the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is not habit of Rasulullah. How beautifully said by a Persian poet, Naraft la bazubani mubarakash hargiz, magar dar ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. Only la word is heard from the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam when the tawheed of Allah is mentioned. This word no is only heard, otherwise no is not heard from the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wah kya judo karam hai shahe batha tera.
Wah kya judo karam hai shahe batha tera.
SubhanAllah, dear respected viewers, another couplet. Another says, Chor Hakim se chupa karte hain, ya iske khilaaf. Chor Hakim se chupa karte hain, ya iske khilaaf. Tere daman mein chupe chor anokha tera. The criminals are always hiding from the authorities. It is normally the practice, right? Criminals, they hide from the authorities. But here it is the opposite. These rare criminals are seen hiding in the shade of your mercy. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear respected viewers, here the criminal is meaning Allah ta'ala is used as a sinner. Right? In one who is guilty of a crime, sinning. And we all know well that every criminal tries to stay hidden from the sight of relevant authorities. But the merciful court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is unique court. The situation here is opposite to that of all the other authorities. Okay, here the transgressor seeks to look for the safety and purification in the shade of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah commands the criminals, in other words, those who have sinned, go to the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and seek his blessings. For those who have sinned in the court of Allah will have their sins forgiven. If they sincerely take shelter in the mercy of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam by begging him to intercede and seek forgiveness on their behalf. How beautifully it is mentioned in Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ. And when they commit injustice to their souls, then O beloved, they should present themselves before you and then seek forgiveness from Allah. And if the Rasul should intercede on their behalf, then undoubtedly they shall find Allah most forgiving, most compassionate. Surah An-Nisa, verse 64. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, it has been reported in the books of Tafaseer concerning this verse that after the apparent departure of beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam from this physical world, a villager presented himself at the Rawda of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a shrine of Akha Karim alayhi salatu wa salam, and placed the best dust from the Rawda of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam on his head. While doing this, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which you have said, we have obeyed, and in that which was revealed you is this verse, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِوَّلَمُوا. And verily, I have done injustice to my soul, and I am here before you to ask repentance from Allah. On this, a voice was heard from the Rawza of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which said, go, you have been forgiven. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, this is the beauty of the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We have been redirected to the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam if we want to ask forgiveness from the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is what tafsir of Quran, Allah azza wa rahmatullahi ta'ala, seems to write. Chor hakim se chupa karte hain, ya iske khilaaf, tere daman mein chupe chor anokha tera.
Chor hakim se chupa karte hain, ya iske khilaaf, chor hakim se chupa karte hain, ya iske khilaaf, tere
chore
Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Also, we are also trying to explain the poetry of Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala. But topic is the nasiha he gave. Definitely, he has given many pieces of advice in his poetry also. Inshallah, we will touch upon that also. But what would you like to share with the viewers of Madani Sharif to the disciples when he gave pieces of advice? What would you like to share?
So the next one which I would like to talk about is Hajj. And he gives this piece of advice to his disciples and devotees that on the affording person, the Hajj is indeed obligatory. And one of the things which he mentions under this, which is very topical at the moment, and that is regarding quarantine. So remember, in those days, the people would travel by sea. So it would take from the subcontinent, it would take 6 to 8 weeks for the crews to reach the Arabian Peninsula.
Right.
And then from there they will do Hajj. So it wasn't really, you know, there were no airplanes, it wasn't as quick. And then one of the things which would happen is that all the Hajjaj, those who have gone for pilgrimage, so the pilgrims would be kept separate for quarantine, which obviously in the current atmosphere is very topical. So he gives special advice and says, just because that you would have to spend extra time in quarantine should not stop you from fulfilling this promise to Allah Tabaraka.
Subhanallah.
So I guess in other words, one, he's trying to say that, you know, so these are the sort of excuses which are used, you know, so that, my holiday is only a week, and how would I spend another 14 days in quarantine, or 10 days here, or 10 days there? And what he's saying is that he says that indeed, whatever problem, calamity you might face here, remember, none of that equals to hellfire. So the punishment which one would receive in hellfire for not doing Hajj when it was obligatory upon him, none of these worldly problems could equate to that.
Yes.
What a beautiful way to explain. And that's what we see in his blessed life as well. So he went twice for Hajj.
Right.
And then the second time, one lesson which we learned from him was that he went to seek permission from his mother. So, and he was asked, you know, you are an imam. You know, there are people who want to accompany you, want to go with you. And here you are asking permission from your mom. And he said that I have done my obligatory Hajj, alhamdulillah. So now this is a supplementary. This is the optional one. And for that, it is preferable that I should go and seek permission from my mom.
Allah.
So, you know, again, what a beautiful lesson is that even when you're going so for that, it is the respect of the parents, the obedience to the parents.
Hukukul ibad.
Hukukul ibad. And of course, the best of hukukul ibad, which is our duties to our parents. So he does that. And then that journey which he made the second time. So it says that he was quite unwell. So, and even before they went on to the cruise. So they stopped in a city prior to moving on for the final part of the journey until they went to the destination of getting on board the ship. And those who accompanied him, they said, well, we were really worried. Sayyidi Alad Rahmatullah Ta'ala may not be able to accompany us because he seems unwell. So he said, leave me here and I'll inshallah join you on the ship. And they were all surprised. They said, well, the caravan is leaving. How is going to join us? And then they said that this was another of one of the saintly miracles of Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. When we went on board, Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala was there.
So
he joined. And we were surprised as to how he reached there. So, but why? Because when you have that hub, the shock, the love, when you have that feeling, then that drives you, you know, and then that takes you, because he knew that I was going to Madinatul Munawwarah, I'm going to, you know, pay my respects in that special place. So on one hand, he gives this clear advice that don't worry about worldly things, make sure that you do your Hajj, and then he demonstrates it practically with his own action as well, that it is not just to the tip of my tongue, I'm demonstrating it for you. No matter how unwell I am, no matter how many problems I face in this trip, I would still not miss the opportunity.
Subhanallah.
So I think that's what, for viewers of Madani Channel, an important lesson here is that you know, when Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to go, you know, we have done everything else. You know, we have been to the other part of the world.
We go to holidays. We spend a lot of money, luxury holidays and all that.
That's right.
But unfortunately,
when it comes to Hajj, no, that's too difficult. And I want to get my children married first. And I want to get my house built first. And I want to pay my mortgage off first. And then I will think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so we defer it and keep deferring it until, and we don't even know how long we're going to live. And here Sayyidina Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala says that, you know, you shouldn't even miss it for a day, even for all the worldly, you know, things which might come along. None of them should stop you from fulfilling your duty to Allah ta'ala.
Subhanallah. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is talking about Huquq Allah. He is guiding, because he was a guide, he was a sheikh, and he is talking to the disciples that you have to establish salah, you have to perform hajj, you have to pay zakah, all the fara'id of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the most important, your aqidah, right? They all should be with you, and you should protect them. At the same time, as Muballigh al-Dawah al-Islami also mentioned that when it came to hukukul ibad, Allahu Akbar, and he also seems to give us advice through his practical life, right, that reflects that, subhanAllah, how beautifully he protected the rights of humans, and especially those they were close relatives. What else shows the practical life of Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala and his pieces of advice?
So as you were talking about Huquq al-Ibad, that reminded me of another incident from his blessed life. And that was, you know, people would, obviously he's the Imam of the time and the Shaykh, and people would feel honored if he would visit them to their house and, you know, and join them for lunch or dinner. So now Sayyidina Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he had a very sort of limited diet. And I guess one of the things which was, you know, one of the issues which we have currently is also related to diet. So he was very careful about his diet. And so once it's mentioned, so this was the state of his, you know, his adherence to the rights of people, that once a young boy who was an orphan child, he came to the court of Sayyidi Alat rahmatullahi ta'ala and said, my mom is very keen that you come to our house for food for me. And Sayyidi Alat rahmatullahi ta'ala, so he smiled. And, you know, so he's an Imam of the time where people would send these, you know, carriages to bring him. And, they, you know, there would be big feasts in his honor. People, you know, hundreds of people might be invited. And here this orphan child has come and he comes to him and says that I would like, my mom wants me. And he's asked him about his dad. He said, my dad has passed away. So it's just the two of us at home. And my mom is very keen that you honor our home as well. So Sayyidi Alat rahmatullahi ta'ala, he smiled and said, son, what would you feed me? And Allahu Akbar. So that little child, he opened his lap, in the shirt, so which he was holding something in his shirt. He opened it and there were some pulses, so dal. So there was just some uncooked dal.
Lentils
were in there. So this is what I'm taking to my mom, and that's what she would cook for you when you come in the evening.
Subhanallah.
And, you know, I mean, so even in our home, we don't even, you know, consider that. We think, you know, if I'm invited somewhere, then there should be at least 10 different types of food. You know, that's the only way I would be honored. And here the Imam of the time, he looks at that, and the biographers have written that they could see Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala welling up. They could see tears in his eyes.
Allah.
And then he said, yes, tell your mom, we will definitely be there. So they visited his house. The house in the evening. So of course that's all they offered, just that dal, you know, that lentil which is cooked. There was nothing else. And despite the fact that you know, he wouldn't usually eat that because his diet was quite limited, but he ate to the fill. He ate to please them. So others asked him, said, you never eat this much, how come you ate so much? And he said, I didn't want them to get the impression that they only fed me dal, and that's the reason why I didn't eat.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah.
So I wanted them to be pleased and happy with me, so that they might pray for me, because it's an orphan child.
Allah.
So that was his, the level of his respect for humanity, for human rights, and for orphans' rights.
For orphans.
You know, that, even if I, at the risk of me getting unwell, but I don't want them feeling for a moment in their heart that maybe our Imam did not eat because he doesn't like it. And there are several such examples. Once there was this boy who used to bring him at the time of Sahar and Iftar, he would bring some food for him. And once he was a bit late, and obviously Sayyidi Azhar Rahmatullah had to prepare for prayer. So he, you know, so the boy came, and during the conversation, why you were late, he tapped him on the back. And then after, when he left, he said, why did I do that? Why would I tap a child when he was, you know, he was late for whatever reason it was? And the next time he comes, he says, now you have to tap me. And not one time, many times. Because because I don't want to be raised on the Day of Judgment and be questioned that how dare you tap one of my exactly, for my bondsman, for a child. And then when obviously the boy started crying, he said, how could I do that?
You're
the
Imam. He held his hand.
And he held his hand. So he held his hand and used him to tap him and said, you know, this is the only way to recompense for it. So that's how...
How sensitive he was when it came to do hukuk al-ibad, rights of people, human rights, subhanAllah. Many respected members of Qadir Shem, Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is giving another piece of advice that when you go to use the toilet, so you should make sure that you are not facing or backing towards Qibla. So both of these should not happen while you are taking bath or you are using toilet. You should not back or face Qibla. But unfortunately, lots of there are many Muslims, right? Majority, they do not know about this mas'ala, and we do not take care of this, right? When we build the toilets, right? When we go and use toilets, and even we go to someone's house, so we do not ask that which way is Qibla.
Right.
So when you're using the toilet, you should make sure that it should not be the case, right? And Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh is telling us, and especially he further says that when you spit, you should not spit towards the Qibla, right? And this is, and you should not stretch your legs towards the Qibla. And this is the adab and respect he is teaching to the disciples and to the Ummah of Rasulullah, the adab of the house of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. What would you say on this?
Absolutely. So that again reminds us of that incident from Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, when there was this person who used to lead prayer, and he was once seen deliberately spitting towards Qibla. And from that moment on, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala forbade him to ever lead prayer for Muslims again. That if you can't respect the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how could we expect you to be respectful to the prayer which you are leading? That's how strongly they believed in that. And that is especially nowadays, it's so true, especially in the Western world, where you know, we buy a house, we don't build it ourselves. And then the risk is that those toilets might be either facing or backing Qibla. And that's where, you know, so if you look at, for example, Amir al-Sunnah, he would suggest that actually you spend money to correct it and make sure that it's not within 90 degrees arc, either way.
And especially the masajid committees, if they are watching or listening to us, they should make sure. If in masajid, if this is the case, they should change that. This is very important, obligatory. People are coming using toilets. And if they are facing, the toilets are facing towards Qibla or backing the Qibla, so who would be responsible?
Right.
This is the question. You see, make sure that it should not happen. And alhamdulillah, I know one, you see, a place where I spoke to the committee members, they heard the mas'ala, they learned it, and they changed it.
Right.
So it is a possibility, right? If you have got commitment to do something, you can do it. So once you know it, so there is no excuse for that.
Absolutely.
Nasrub, what else would you like to share?
And then just on this point, I mean, this is slightly, I guess, digressing from the point, but I think around Qibla. So I think the other thing which is, I mean, you can imagine this sort of instruction or advice would come from Sayyidi Ali Rahmatullah Ta'ala because of how in such high esteem he held the place of worship. So the other beautiful thing which I think for viewers would be interested to know, that nearly around sort of 70, 80 years ago, there was this huge discussion in the US around the direction of Qibla.
Mm-hmm.
So whether, so as we know in the Western world, most of the Western world, we face southeast for
right.
Qibla. And if someone has traveled to the US, they would know that there the Qibla direction is northeast,
okay.
Though it is still in the west. So that discussion actually started that what is the right direction of Qibla? And no one could answer that question sufficiently until it came to the book written by Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, like Kashful Illah. In that book, he actually gave a formula to help decide wherever you are in the world where Qibla is.
Subhanallah.
And in then it was Sayyidi Alat rahmatullahi ta'ala to the rescue and to actually help people decide which way. And since then, alhamdulillah, all the Muslims, they all face in that direction. So that's also thanks to Sayyidi Alat rahmatullahi ta'ala.
And thanks to Dawat Islami, it has made a beautiful app, Prayer Time, that you can download to find out the right timings. At the same time, it gives you a proper direction of Qibla. There is an option, you can find the direction of Qibla easily. So Prayer Times of Dawat Islami, you can download inshaAllah. Dear respected viewers, now let's include a few ash'ar of Kalami Ahle Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Ahle Rahmat Rahman. We are talking about the very first Kalam of Imam Ahle Sunnah, that is, Wah kya judo karam hai shahe, batha tera, nahi sunta hi nahi, mangne wala tera. Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi writes in another couplet of this naat, Tere qadmon mein jo hai ghair ka muh kya dekhein, Tere qadmon mein jo hai ghair ka muh kya dekhein, Kaun nazron pe chadhe dekh ke talwa tera. Subhanallah. Hazrat is saying, what need is there to look at the face of any other for those who are in your sacred feet? Who else can be more admirable in their sight after they have seen the sacred sole of your sacred feet? Subhanallah. What a beautiful couplet of Allah, Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, dear respected viewers, which is expressing the love of Nabi Kareem Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Every time we recite a couplet of Allah, Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, we can feel the deep sea of love of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam flowing in it. In this couplet, the words, Tere qadmon mein jo hai ghair ka muh kya dekhein, here Tere qadmon mein jo hai means those who are in your sacred feet refers to those who have been blessed with seeing and having had the honor of being in the service of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, meaning sahaba ikram. Hence this initially refers to the illustrious household with Ahle Bayt and distinguished companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. After that, it refers to all those who are absorbed in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It also refers to those who have been blessed with seeing the Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in their dreams. Hey, Sayyidi Ala Zikr al-Rahma is explaining that when you fall in love with someone, you are usually attracted to the beauty of their face. He says that falling in love by looking at the face is one thing, but those blessed ones who saw the sacred soles of the sacred feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam feel so deeply in love with him sallallahu ta'ala sallam that they did not wish to look at the face of any other with the same love again. Allahu Akbar. The Islamic brothers, so many points they describe the beauty of the face of their beloved. Here Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala is talking about the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. There is no comparison of the beauty of the face. If somebody sees that beauty, then he doesn't see elsewhere. Allahu Akbar. He doesn't need to see any other beauty. So what would be the condition of the beauty of the face of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam if this is the level of the beauty of the blessed feet of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Tere qadmon mein jo hai ghair ka muh kya dekhe,
tere qadmon mein jo hai
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And one last couplet we would like to include in this program. Kiska muh takiye kahan jaiye kisse kahiye, kiska muh takiye kahan jaiye kisse kahiye, tere hi qadmon pe mit jaye ye taala tera. Towards whom should I look with hopeful eyes? Where else should I go? Whom should I share my feelings with? It is best for this servant nurtured by you to be sacrificed in love at your sacred feet, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The respective viewers of Qadami channel, Subhanallah, here we have yet another touching couplet written in profound love of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. In this couplet, it feels as if Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is telling us that when we know there is not much we can do to help ourselves, and there is nowhere else left for us to go, and no one else to share our sorrows and feelings with, then even in such a time, the best and the most peaceful place is at the sacred feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For Sahaba Ikram, it was their wish to desire to sacrifice everything, even their lives, in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And for those who did not get the most blessed era, it meant to wish for death with Iman in the blessed city of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala explains that what better place to pass away than at the sacred feet of Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who by Allah's grace has nurtured us and blessed us with everything which we have. And there is no doubt that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam nurtures us and his love, blessings and mercy. And there is no doubt that all we have is through his blessings. My dear Islamic brothers, that's all for today. We'll come back with another beautiful episode of Imam of Ahl Sunnah. Until then, keep watching Madani channel.
Imam Muhammad Rida, Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Rida, Imam Muhammad Rida, Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam.